You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Thank the Lord for what we've already heard, both sermon and song. Appreciate the message on simplicity and ships this morning. Two S's. I was wondering this morning, my brother, you ever wondered? I was wondering some time ago. Why Jesus was in the hinder part of that ship. And I came to this interesting conclusion that that's where they put him. Most of us Baptists have put him in the hinder parts. I think if they would have known who he really was, they'd have put him in the front. Yeah. That's why he went to sleep. You don't need me. Take a nap. And they were crazy enough to think that they were going to sink. The Bible clearly says they just began to sink. Law of gravity will tell you it is impossible for you to begin to sink. God's people will never sink. They'll only begin to sink. It's impossible for us to sink. Like Cheerios. Ivory soap. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Isaiah chapter number 52, if you have the Bible there. You've been looking at the face of Christ, seeing his face before we see his face. Face to face, what will it be? We've looked at the revealed face, the resolved face, and the radiant face. This morning, I want to look at the redeemed face of Christ. It is in Isaiah chapter number 52 that the Old Testament prophet takes the prophetical telescope and he begins to zoom in approximately 1,000 years in the future. And he zooms in on the face of Christ while he is dying. And I am interested in looking at that face around the time he died and when he was dying. I notice in this particular text, the redeemed face is seen as the marred face. He says in verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astoned at thee, his vision," that's his face. Old Testament prophet, he's zoomed in his telescope and he has zoomed right in on his face. He said his vision was so marred. When he's fine-tuning it, trying to get it a little clear so he can get it clear, he says he was astoned at what he saw. Stunned to numbness. Something that would cause one to look away quickly. He said his vision was marred to disfigure beyond recognition. A freak, unhuman like. I remember years ago in the 70s, my dad had an open heart surgery at the Baptist Hospital in Knoxville. And they prepare you in those days. Don't do that anymore. They tell you that when they first come out of the surgery, they'll look like a freak. And I remember when they brought my daddy out, his head was about 3 times the size of a basketball. Prophetically speaking, in Psalms 22, he said that my heart melted. fooling with his heart now. Said it run down into his bowels. And the prophet said, when I saw his head and his face, said it looked like a freak. It was inhuman. My question this morning is, why, oh why, would the King of Glory submit himself to the marred face? The one who had lived in a world where all they said was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. King of kings and Lord of lords. Why would he submit himself to that? If you have the Bible, John's Gospel, chapter number 18. Not only would the redeemed face remind us of the marred face of Christ, but it would remind us of the smitten face of Christ. It says in John 18, 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Smacked him upside the face. Said in John 19 in verse 3, they said, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with the hands. It's awful humiliating for a grown man to be smacked in the face. I remember years ago, my middle boy, of course, they all grown now. My middle boy pushed all my buttons. And before I knowed it, I smacked him right in the face. And when I did, broke my heart. I had to go and apologize to him. So humiliating. The guilty and the vile slapping incarnate holiness. The dirty and the depraved slapping deity and divine. He could have called a myriad of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, 1,000 upon 1,000, sent the whole human race to hell. Question. Why, oh why, would the King of Glory submit himself to the slapping of his face? You have the Bible there this morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Face to face, what shall it be? Seeing his face before I see his face. That redeemed face would allow us to see the marred face of Christ. Smitten face of Christ. Oh, here's an interesting one. Allow us to see the spit upon face of Christ. Matthew chapter 26. And verse number 67. Then did they spit in his face. Chapter 27 of that same book in verse number 30. And they spit upon him. Oh, what humiliation. He who created the very saliva in our mouths is now getting it in his face. I pastored for 18 years on the University of Georgia campus, Athens, Georgia. And we were a block from football stadium, so every Saturday when extra 100,000 people come to town, we'd always park cars in the parking lot. And we would save places and let them use the restroom. It was a time of witnessing, sharing the gospel with different people. And the only thing we asked them is to not be rowdy and not drink on our property. I remember one day a bunch of young people come in and they were already drinking. They had drinks in their hands and asked if they could park there. And I said, no, you can't park here. I said, we don't allow any drinking here on the property. So he asked me if he could turn around, seemed to be gracious. They turned around, they was heading back out, and they motioned for me to come over to the car. They wanted to say something to me. And I heard it. Right in my face. Man, if I could get a hold of it. I don't believe he'd ever again. When Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, whispered to me, he said, they did that to me. And he said, I didn't open my mouth. He said, I wanted to redeem them. Why, oh why, the King of Glory submit himself to be smitten and spit upon? You've got the Bible there, Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter number 50. We would see in this redeemed face this morning, not only the marred face, the smitten face, the spit upon face. Here's an interesting one for you fellows that have beards. I don't know if you'd enjoy this or not. The plucked face of Christ. Plucked face of Christ. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. The word pluck means to snatch, leaving a bald spot. Scripture says he gave it to them, didn't withhold it. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this number way over your head. You might need a doctor's degree to get this in the Bible. He says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks. I believe with all of my heart, after they had snatched one side, he turned to them the other side. Why, oh why, would the King of Glory, Creator of the whole universe, submit his face to having it plucked? You have the Bible there, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. Not only in this redeemed face would we see the marred face of Christ, the smitten face of Christ, the spit upon face of Christ, the plucked face of Christ. In chapter number 22, verse 64 and 65, we would see the blindfolded face of Christ. It says, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. They're playing a game with him. Are you a prophet? You're all knowing. Tell us who smacked you. What is my name? Blindfolded. I can't help but believe. Please help me often in the Bible. I see a lot between the lines. I wonder if there's other reasons why they blindfolded him. maybe one of those Roman centurions would say, you know, I don't mind smacking him, but y'all gonna have to cover them eyes. It seems like those eyes are looking clear through me into my soul. You've got to cover those eyes. It seems like every time I smack him, those eyes say, I forgive you. You know not what you're doing. I love you. Why, oh why, would the King of Glory submit himself to the blindfolded face? You have the Bible there this morning. Psalms 44, the Bible says, not only does this redeemed face involve the marred face of Christ, the smitten face, the spit upon face, the plucked face, the blindfolded face, but it involved the shamed face of Christ. The word shame means to blush with embarrassment. It says in verse 13, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us as by a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. He says, my whole face is blushing with embarrassment. Chapter 69 of the Psalms, he says in verse 7, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame covered my face. Can't help but believe he was blushing because he was naked in front of his own mama, in front of people. He ain't got no loincloth over the bottom. Some picture they made up. He's totally naked. Why, oh why, would the King of Glory submit himself to such embarrassment? The words of a chorus of a song, I believe, would give us the reason. I quote the words of that chorus to you. The end of the course will leave three blanks. If you have any earthly idea what the words to fill in those three blanks would be, do not hesitate to shout them out. I notice a lot of you have been shouting this morning. You would certainly want to shout these three words out. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, blank, 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 dying for me. That is the reason, my friend, that he submitted himself to the marred face, the smitten face, the spit upon face, the plucked face, the blindfolded face, the shamed face. I am the reason that he did that. Martin Luther preached Calvary to all over Europe, set so many Catholics free when he hurled it forth, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. It waked many from the deadness of their sin. Old Cowper's sung it when he said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. John Newton heralded it forth, and we're
still doing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Spurgeon thundered forth Calvary to the message to the poor and to the rich. John Bunyan made the cross the starting point to the celestial city in Pilgrim's Progress. Moody's church bell in his church chimed the years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not it was for me he was crucified. Napoleon said to a world map, a little place called the British Isles, he had a red spot there. He said, I could have conquered the world had it not been for that red spot. The devil looks at a world map. He points at Golgotha's hill. He said, I could have sent every man had it not been for that red spot. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. The burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at time can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Many see him dying for the world. I have no problem with that, not argue with it. But I have never got excited that God died for you. Ain't never done a thing for me. But when I saw him hanging there for me, business did pick up. Business did pick up. My sinful self, my only shame. Oh, the cross on which the Prince of Glory died demands my soul, my life, my all. I read one last verse if you want to turn there. I hope I won't mess it up for you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. Don't want to mess up your King James Bible. But whenever I see that many personal pronouns in a verse, I've got to take them out and put my name in there. I believe if the translators would have known what he did for me, they would have took all them personal pronouns out and put my name in there. This is the way the verse ought to read. Tom Gillum was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Tom Gillum lives. Yet not Tom Gillum, but Christ liveth in Tom Gillum. And the life which Tom Gillum now lives in the flesh, Tom Gillum lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved Tom Gillum and gave himself for Tom Gillum. Makes me want to say redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my raptured soul can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed and redeemed, his child, and forever I am.